afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is July 5th, 2018. It is Thursday. Hello, Butch.
Hello, Miss Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm just doing fantastic.
You always are. I got
to
get me a job like yours.
You have to be fantastic.
Well, you know, I agree. There's some days it's a little harder than others, but I totally understand.
I get it, you know. And did you have a nice Independence Day?
We did. I didn't do a whole lot of anything. Enjoyed the family. Went to see some fireworks last night, which I really don't care much for doing, but went to see some fireworks and spend a day, visiting with some of the family, and I don't give me days where I don't have to do anything. And usually one of them, I try to make it last as long as possible.
Yes, yes. It's pretty much good. Sounded like my fourth family visiting, and so it was nice to spend the day with them. And but we're back to the reality of things, and
here we
of
are.
Course, here we are, and let's go ahead and see what gold is doing right now in the New York spot price. We're looking a little pressure, $1.50, but we're still $12.56 over that key level, $12.50. Silver's down 7 cents at $16.09. Platinum was down 5 at 841. Palladium was down 3 at 951. The USDX today, I'm sure, was weaker just by a bit, 0.02. 94.49. Crude oil was down 1.13 today at 73.01. And the paper markets today, let's go ahead and get to that. Of course, it was triple digits to the upside, and 182 at 24,356. The NASDAQ was up 83,786, and the S&P was up 23 at 2,736. 10-year yield 2.84%. You know, quiet. You know, a fairly quiet day. Market went up big this morning, bounced around a little bit, ended up big, and there's a few articles I'd like to touch on today.
I'll make one comment. Do you remember when the market was toying with 10,000? Everyone thought that was such a wonderful, they're going to reach 10,000 soon. Do you remember that? And everybody's excited about that. Now that's been passed, way past, doing 20 to 25,000 now. And, you know, it makes you wonder. I mean, this has been going on and on and on. And I just sit back and marvel how they can do this, but they do it. They keep it looking rosy.
Well, the thing of it is, it's interesting. It's because there hasn't been any reactions to anything. And we did have the Dow Jones, we did have Walgreens sort of boosted the Dow, Intel. But what's interesting is tomorrow, the U.S. is expected, key word there, is expected to activate the levies on $34 billion in Chinese-made goods. And we're expecting Beijing to respond in kind with its own levies. And so, you know, I don't know if people think it's going to happen, it's not going to happen, or this is just, you know, a wait-and-see type of game. But as he, Managing Director Dario Perkins, said, as he ratchets up the trade conflict with China, President Trump's protectionism will inevitably start to damage the global economy. I think the global economy is already damaged. If anybody looked to what the emerging market's been doing for the past weeks and so, a month, I mean, they're already being destroyed. So, you know, the global economy is already coming to unwind.
Well, Mel, it's been on life support for years.
It has.
I mean, literally on life support. They've been pumping life into it for so long.
Yep.
You know, so it can't go on forever.
Well, we keep thinking it's not going to go on forever, and I can't imagine that it does, and or that it will. That was just one of the interesting reports today. There was a President Trump brought in Bill Shine. He was the co-president of Fox News Channel and Fox Business Network. He has joined the administration, and he is going to be Trump's assistant and deputy chief of staff for communications. Basically, he is replacing Hope Hicks's job. And he's already going to start traveling with Trump on Air Force One to a rally in Montana. So he was the co-president of Fox News and Fox Business Channel. See if there's a, he resigned. He actually resigned from Fox in May of 2017. And he was trailing the departure of Fox's ex-chairman Roger Ailes. He has since passed. And, of course, we all know the Bill O'Reilly was removed from the network with his own allegations of sexual harassment. But he was there. This Mr. Schein was there for more than 20 years. And so, I mean, it's kind of interesting. Is it in time for the elections and perhaps even to work on Trump's campaign for 2020? He certainly is in, you know... So it's an interesting play.
And I want to make one comment to you. Talking about the sexual allegations or whatever, sexual harassment. And I wonder sometime what they consider constitute a sexual harassment. Amazon, now this, I'm not making it up. You can check it out for yourself. Is asking its employees not to look at one another longer than 5 seconds. I'm serious. It could be harassment. And I'm dead serious. So how far do we go with this nonsense?
I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he was resigned and, you know, it's... but you know what's interesting? They just pay a fine. They pay millions of dollars. They don't challenge the charges because the thing of it is, their attorneys, if they challenge the charges, the attorneys would cost more than the fines that they pay to settle
the
claims.
But how do you prove it either way? I mean, maybe if it's 25-30 different people say the same thing, possibly. But if one or two people, three people get together and say, well, he did this or she did this, how do you know they're not making up to get some money? I mean, I'm serious about that. How do you know that? I mean, you weren't there. No one videoed it. How do you know they're not lying? Just to get even somebody. You know, some people will do that.
Some people would do that. But I usually would think that maybe there's a little bit of a history to where you can actually find other folks to, you know, maybe.
Well, if there's a history of it, I understand that. But, you know, if two or three come forward and say, well, he did this 25 years ago. Pardon me?
Oh, I know. I mean, I think that's,
that's
ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. I mean, what did we do 25 years ago? Don't even remember now. You know? Gee.
But as this Schein joins Trump's team, you have Joe Hagan. He's the White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Operations. He's resigning. And this Joe Hagan has been credited as being a key player in the unprecedented summit last month between Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. And he's going to step down tomorrow. So it's interesting that someone who has played such been a key player in bringing this summit together is resigning. You'd think you'd want to keep him around, but... Yeah, it's just interesting. Not sure it means anything, but it's just interesting to see the things turn around. Well, I'm going to go back to the stock market now. And again, we have companies that are setting a record for share buybacks in the second quarter. And, you know, we talk about how, you know, the stocks are manipulated. There was a report this morning, CNBC, an article, where stocks are hanging by a thread. And they're just being boosted by a bonanza of corporate buying that's unrivaled in market history. Look, I don't believe people don't let this sink in. How long can they keep doing that? It's just incredible. And
How do they do it? I mean, how do they do it?
They buy back the shares.
I know, but that's kind of like trying to lift your own chair while you're sitting in it, isn't it? I mean, how long can you do it before you can't do it anymore? I mean, you're spending profits to buy back losses.
When the rates are low, they actually borrow money to buy back their own shares. That's why corporate debt is so high, because they go into debt because there's, you know, it was cheaper to you know, borrow money than it was to, you know, that's what happens when you have free money.
So you just keep digging a hole deeper.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So, you know, we're seeing this again. We're looking at records. It's never history before. Companies announced $433 billion in share repurchases during the period. The second quarter is what they're talking about, nearly doubling the previous record of $242 billion in the first quarter. So in the first quarter, we have $242 billion in buybacks, a record. And in the second quarter, that's doubled.
I can't fathom that. That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's at the same time, investors dumped $23 billion in stock market focus funds in June, also a new record. For the full quarter, the brutal June brought global net equity outflows of $20 billion. That's the worst performance since the third quarter of 2016, and that was right before the election. The selling is particularly acute in the mutual funds. They saw $52.9 billion in outflows during the quarter. And so, again, these are all signals that the market, you know, it shows what they're doing, shows how they're doing it, and yet it just...
But people keep trusting them. They keep thinking, well, it's growing, it's great. I mean, we keep being suckered into the game over and over and over again. What's up about insanity? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
Yep, that's exactly true.
And that's what we're doing. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I would think after a while, even American people could figure this out. Well, anyway.
You'd think. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you want to play in the paper market, be my guest, but make sure you got it covered with gold and silver. And there was another, China is quietly conducting electronic warfare tests in the South China Sea. This is breaking news out of CNBC. They're quietly testing the, let me pull it up here. China is quietly testing electronic warfare assets recently installed at the fortified outposts in the South China Sea. Electronic warfare, it's easy for you to say, electronic warfare assets are designed to confuse or disable communications and radar systems. There is no comments coming from the Pentagon. They've declined to comment. So, kind of interesting. It makes you wonder what they're getting ready for. They're testing to where they can disrupt communications.
Well, so, you know, we talked a lot of years about the grid could be taken down by a single EMP blast, and we know that. We're very vulnerable for that. And I guess the whole world really is. But whoever does it first, if they did it to America and crippled a third of the country, oh my, that put us in total chaos.
Yes,
it would. If people's cell phones quit working, they wouldn't know what to do.
They wouldn't. They truly
wouldn't. They're lifelines to them. They can't breathe without them. They took the place of boom boxes, only worse. Remember, you said boom boxes, you walk around on the shoulder, you know, but today the phones are absolutely 1,000 times worse than a boom box.
Boom boxes were before my time, Pastor Butch.
Oh, of course they were. Back in the 70s, I know they were, sure.
I thought they were stupid, too.
Well, they were. But I'm saying this, we're so wrapped up in electronics
radio
today.
On your shoulder.
But they did, and they then blast in the ear. But to see this, to see the absolute obsession with cell phones and electronics and video games, it's actually an obsession, Melody, and I'm telling the truth. You go to anyone, you go to a restaurant, you go to somebody's family function, look around the room and see what you're doing. If they're talking, they're talking between looking on the cell phone. Now, you know that's true. You see them all the time. I mean, nothing frustrates more than talking to somebody, and they're staring down at their phone, I mean, it's rude.
You know what's interesting? I don't want people to listen to my conversations.
If they're going to be there and talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, lay them down and talk to me. If you're going to talk to me, once you ask me a question or I'm going to chat with you a minute, at least give me the respect to put down the phone and let's talk a minute. That's
fair
enough.
When you're in grocery stores and stuff like that and people answer their telephones, it's like,
oh, they do.
I see I don't answer my phones and when I'm in the grocery store because I don't want people to hear what my conversation is, just as I don't want to listen to other people's conversations.
Well, that's just
the
way it is.
That used to be called eavesdropping.
Yeah, it was, and it was. Now it's just called plain out rude, though, to talk to people face-to-face and be on the phone. I can't stand it, and I've been known to ask people to put the phones down. And if it makes them mad, they're mad. But I have a cell phone. I don't like it, but I had to have one according to my boss, and you know who that is, and some others. I use it when I have to, but I don't like a cell phone. I told somebody it's just an extra length of chain on a man's body. He can go a little further, his wife can still find him. So anyway.
There's just one more thing I want to talk about here. I think this is an interesting report. More than a third of Chinese millionaires want to leave China. And this is a list of where they want to go. And it really is interesting. More than a third are considering emigrating to another country. This is a report, according to a report from their Huron Research Institute. It's a China-based wealth research firm and Visa's consulting group and an immigration advisory firm. They surveyed 224 Chinese people with an average wealth of $4.5 million. And they want to leave China for better education systems elsewhere. They want to flee the country's polluted cities and strict government. They're also looking to protect their wealth. Overseas assets account for an average of 11% of the total assets of Chinese millionaires. Now, the United States, of course, tops the list as the most popular destination for the fourth year in a row. The UK ranked second, followed by Ireland and then Canada. The strong education system, cleaner air, better food safety made the U.S. a favorite for Chinese investors. The administration's tax plan also got high marks from the respondents. They also talk about the property investment. They love to buy real estate. It has become a popular way for the Chinese that are wealthy to offshore their fortunes. Foreign exchange deposits and immovable property are the most popular overseas investment options. They spend an average of $800,000 on buying a property. And wow. Los Angeles was the top city for Chinese millionaires to buy property, followed by New York, Boston, and San Francisco. And they like the permanent property rights. Wait until they find out. That the permanent property rights probably isn't as permanent as what they think it is. But
as long as you pay your rent to the state that owns it, it is, I guess.
Yeah, well, they're used to that. They're used to paying money to the government. So.
Oh, I'm sure. But, yeah, there's...
So I thought that was interesting.
I'm surprised they come to the United States first. I really am. I'm kind of shocked at that.
And what I'm kind of shocked at is we're heading into the break, the first break for the program today. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melanie Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul.
We will find you acting on your best.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and everything is a bargain. You must give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I was doing a few comparisons on $20 gold, but this big drop, they really didn't drop that much. Some of the ones that went up the most when gold was moving up, like some of the higher $20 gold pieces, their prices moved a little greater than the lower end $20 gold pieces, so they pulled back equivalent to what they moved up. So very little movement in the lower grades, but great time to be adding to your portfolio. If you want to trade a little bit of gold for silver, if you have a large amount of gold, now's the time to do it and get your coins at the lower prices. So 800-375-4188. If you have any questions on trading any of your coins, selling any of your coins, just give make sure you call and make sure you talk to me. Butch?
Yeah, right here.
What's next?
What's next? Well, I was going to tell you a thing about a man in a chain when he's married, but I guess I better not go there. He might shoot me. But anyway, every now and then I like to laugh a bit, Melody. I really do. I truly do. Life is hard enough without a little bit of laughter involved in it. You know that.
So who are you talking about? Man in a chain?
I just tell it. All you can do is shoot
me.
Watching a ventriloquist. Go ahead.
Let me get my...
Okay.
You're lucky you're in West Virginia, yes.
Yeah, okay. A ventriloquist was talking to his dummy, you know. He had an old man dummy, grouchy guy, sitting on his lap talking to him. And the young guy told the dummy, he said, "I'm getting married next week." And the old guy said, "No, you're not. Yeah, I'm getting married." "You don't want to get married." "So why don't I get married?" He said, "Well, let me just tell you." Looked down the audience and said, "You see that pretty girl down there?" And the guy looked down. "Yeah, I see. She's beautiful." The dummy said, "Well, you know, you're free to go after her. After you get married, you just run the India chain and bark." Okay, let that sink in. That was a good one. That was a good one. So
that's why I'm quiet.
and you know, Marsha won't let me bark anymore. But anyway, this is full of something else. So. So I'm sorry, folks. I had to bring it in. I like to laugh. I truly do. But this is, I think, something that Trump said that I think is kind of good. And every now and then he does something I really like. Aboard Air Force One, President Donald Trump will tell fellow NATO countries at next week's summit that the United States cannot be the world's piggy bank, White House spokesman Hogan Gidley said on Tuesday. What the president is going to do is go into these meetings with the mindset to protect the American people, stand with our partners and allies, but as he has said many times before, America is thought of so often to be the world's piggy bank, and that's got to stop, Gidley told reporters as Trump flew to West Virginia. Trump has pressured some NATO allies to significantly increase military expenditure, and I like that. He's also told me he's not going to fund the UN all the time anymore. The United States is not going to fund the biggest part of it. I think that's wonderful. Kudos to Trump for saying that. I agree with that 100%, don't you?
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what he was referencing when he says he wasn't going to be the world's piggy bank anymore.
Well, I think it's including the UN expenditure and other things that we've done, you know, and we give away money like it's nothing. Well, it actually is nothing. But anyway, we keep giving it away, and we're in debt up to our balls ourselves as a nation. And other nations got used to the idea of this being a sugar daddy.
Most of the money that has been given away is our troops on foreign soil.
That is money, and that's life.
It would be nice to see them shrink.
It would.
But it's not going to happen. So.
Well, that ties into the next article. Trump is to tell the OPEC allies reduce oil prices or lose your defense shield. For the umpteenth time this year, President Trump has lashed out at OPEC over soaring oil prices and therefore gas prices. The OPEC monopoly must remember that gas prices are up and they are doing little to help. If anything, they're driving prices higher. Then Trump escalated his rhetoric, appearing to threaten the withdrawal of support unless action is taken. The United States defends many of their members for very few dollars. This must be a two-way street. Reduce pricing now. So it boils down to the fact, you're right, we have troops in all these countries protecting our so-called allies and protecting their oil supply. And I guess strategically that's a good move. But he told them, if you don't, you know, help us out here by reducing prices, we're not going to protect you any longer. We'll survive without you, more or less. So those are two things he's done that I have to admit that really kind of like, that he's telling them, you know, we're footing the bill. We're paying for our military to be there to protect you. If you don't help us, why should we help you? I do like that idea.
Well, I think so. You know, I think so, too. But, you know, I'm not quite sure where, you know, Iran and you know, how does it work when you, you know, we withdraw from the Iranian trade agreement.
Yes.
And we threaten other countries that they can't do business with Iran. They can't purchase their oil from Iran.
But
if they decide to do
allies.
So.
He's talking to allies, not to Iran, not an ally. But he's talking to, I'm sure, Saudi Arabia and others that we support. That, you know, you need to do
no,
this.
No, I know that.
You know, so, but I don't know.
But I think it's a little more than just telling the Saudis, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, or we're going to pull our protection. We can't pull our protection because all of a sudden they're going to be selling their oil in Chinese currency, and there goes the history of the U.S. dollar. So unless the Saudi Arabias have made arrangements with Israel, so Israel would pick up. I mean, you can't. I don't know how. I agree. We never should. I mean, we shouldn't have gone down this road to begin with, but we're at this road now. So how do you tell the Saudis we're going to pull? What our agreement was to have the petrodollar to provide security for you. So if you don't lower these prices, we're going to pull that security. Doesn't that the petrodollar go away?
Well, you would think so. But the petrodollar is kind of dropping anyway. But I understand that question. And I don't know what the answer is.
Where it would go. It's not to the point to where it was going. I mean, what we've seen with the dollar is nothing so far. We're gradually seeing people move away and so forth. But it's nothing yet.
I don't know what would happen. I just don't know, because I mean that's a good question, and when you look at it from different perspectives, you see different angles perhaps. But I don't know what he's going to do. So far, normally when he says something, he usually backs it up and does it. And whether it come back to bite him or not, I don't know. With the tariffs in China and other things come back, and we'll talk about that in a minute with Mexico.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right. You go ahead.
And what I believe, this is just maybe playing a little bluff, is I would think that if that would be a major deal, the markets, I mean, the dollar would have just tanked immediately. So I don't think anyone believes that that would ever happen.
Well, time will tell. I don't know. He could be just trying to blow smoke. I really don't know. I don't think America is in a strong enough position to threaten a whole lot of anybody anymore. Quite honest with you, financially or militarily, I don't think we have it anymore. I think we're losing our ground in all those areas. I really do. But anyway, I do know that the Pentagon said Iran Pentagon trade warnings over U.S. effort to block Iranian oil exports. The United States and Iran have traded warnings over U.S. efforts to block Iran's oil exports. with Tehran suggesting that it could retaliate by blocking oil tankers from leaving the Persian Gulf. Now, I don't know about that, whether it's going to happen or not. I know that's been talked about. Iran has said they're going to do it maybe today. They're already talking about it. We'll see what happens, but the Iranian Revolutionary Guards commander said on Wednesday that Tehran will block oil shipments through the Strait of Hormuz in the Gulf. The United States bans Iranian oil sales. So this just happened yesterday that they're saying we're going to go through with this. I don't know, Melody. Are we going to ban the sale of oil to other countries from Iran? Can we do that?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, you know, we pulled out of the agreement. The agreement is still in force with the other nations that were included on that agreement. They can, you know, I don't know if they would block the shipments because it hurts other people than just the United States. So if they're going to, you would think if they're going to retaliate against the United States, they would do it in a different manner, but they get to control that. And but again, there's no reaction to oil. Oil's down.
The markets don't react to anything.
No, they're not. That should scare the heck out of people.
Used to be somebody, he cut the Middle East, so the stock market took a big hit.
Yep. And I don't know. The algorithms, that probably protects, you know, the markets to some degree as far as, any major impacts on just talk and threats. We've gotten used to a world of threats. Very few of these threats ever come to pass. I mean, when was the last threat that came to pass? I can't recall. So, you know, that had a major, you know, impact. In the meantime, everybody's focused on all these threats and talks and disruptions and noise and so forth. And the most obvious is we come back to the countries and we look at the condition of their monetary systems. And to me, it also, I think they bring so much attention and all these other threats that it's just a disguise.
I just don't know. I'm watching these things happen, like I said, and the markets are not responding in good or bad. It's just amazing to me. They're standing, holding steady. Nobody seems to be paying much attention to anything. But can Trump afford to do something like this before midterm elections, which are just a few months away? Will he do it before then? I kind of doubt it. I really do. After that, maybe all bets are off. But until then, I don't think he's going to do anything like that until it's over.
Well, you know, they always say that election years are always the most quiet year. This is anything but quiet. But then again, all of the threats, all of the comments, it's not affecting the markets in any manner. So the markets aren't, you know, they're not taking the bait.
Well, there's an article here that come off of Tyler Durden's website, and it's really good article. I'm questioning, did he really mean it? Apparently, President Trump's offhanded remarks about sending tanks to Venezuela were more than just a scare tactic. Trump reportedly asked a group of senior administration officials why the United States couldn't simply invade Venezuela during a meeting in his Oval Office, according to the New York Post. The meeting was called to discuss sanctions against members of the Venezuelan regime. Trump's suggestion shocked members of his administration who were in the room, including former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and former National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster. Months later, Trump was told by his aides not to mention his invasion suggestion during private dinner with leaders from four American allies on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. But he did anyway, surprising members of the staff. Trump also raised the idea with Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos. So, what? Really? We're going to invade Venezuela? What's our goal? To bring our prosperity to them? To bring in democracy? To bring them in white bread? I don't know. What's the goal?
Oil.
I get
oil.
It has to be oil. It has to be. It's after the money and the oil. We're not going down there to help these people. We're not doing that. I've heard this so long, for so many years. I've been duped into myself back in the Vietnam era. And they're not going to fool me again. It's hard to convince me more that you can help a people by bombing them to oblivion. It really is. I have a hard time believing that. So, but apparently he seriously did mention about invading Venezuela. That's all we need, another war. another place to send our troops to fight for whatever. And the question has to be, the answer has to be to the question, it's all about oil and money. As who was it said, war's a racket? Bentley Butler said that. War's a racket. He said, where the dollar goes, the flag follows, and the American youth follow the flag. Well, it looks like after a while, we can figure this out. We have no reason to invade Venezuela to help anybody except ourselves. Is that pretty clear, you think?
I think so. And, of course, you have to look at Venezuela's new relationships that they have with Russia and China. And so, again, you're just not going in and fighting these countries alone. You have to look who's standing behind them. Who's to say whether Russia or China would come to their aid, you know, if the U.S. had gone to war with Venezuela. They want a regime change in there. They're going to get it one way or another. And it's just like they've done everywhere else. And that was campaign promise, that we wouldn't be going into these wars.
Well, didn't Obama say the same thing? Did he win the Nobel Peace Prize for saying he's going to get us out of these things?
Get out of these things.
Yeah. So, I wonder how many times they're going to fool us before we say we figured this out. They're lying to us. Their mouth's moving. I know I'm being hard. I can't help it. After all these times, I mean, he's supposed to be looking for peace. He's talking, discussing about invading a South American nation. We have no business involved with anyway. It's their own internal fight. Let them handle it. Had no business there. But that's America today. The empire, the last empire of the world, is stretching its wings.
I know. You know, they talk about going to war to change the regime to help people.
Right.
But yet, are they helping the people now when their inflation is, what, 40,000 or whatever
40,
it is?
40,000, yeah.
People are starving and people are doing everything necessary to survive. Where is anyone helping them now?
Well, I'm sure if
we win now, you got to go to war to kill them first.
I'm gonna say if we win and bomb them first, we'll help them a lot, won't we?
Yeah.
You wonder why the world hates America. But anyway, that's a different topic, I reckon. Along with the same issue, maybe, but about Trump, but different topic. You probably saw that Walmart started selling a T-shirt that said "Impeach 45" on it.
Mm-hmm.
There was
yes.
a threat to be a boycott, and Walmart's general manager, Brad Parscale, said, we're not going to do it. We pulled it. We're sorry. Made a mistake. But I have to ask his question. Why, if we would have had impeached 44 on there when he was still in office, Obama's in office, would they not have called us every manner of evil word in a they think of, you know, racist and radicals and bigots? And how come they do it with, they say it with Trump, and they just slides off like water off a duck's back?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really. And what's your name, the idiot from California? What's your name? I'll also the name again. Asking for open violence against the Trump's office and, you know, his supporters. I mean, this could lead to a lot of things that people don't want to think about. I'm trying to find my article right here. Here it is. Her name is. We're going to break already. Gee.
We're going to break. We'll be right back. Hold that name.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. And Pastor Butch, I want to see if you remember the name.
I do. I got it right in front of me. Maxine Waters.
Maxine, you got it.
Maxine Waters. But anyway, this article was written by a guy named Snyder. Civil unrest is here. Prepare for a summer of rage. I'm going to see it happen. I'm going to share the article and make some comments on this. On Friday, Michael Moore went on Bill Myers' HBO show, suggested that the United States military would side with progressives in a civil war against Donald Trump. Now, think about that. He thinks that the United States Army would side with progressives, liberals, socialists, against Trump. You can watch this on YouTube if you want. But anyway, the very next day, Antifa thugs violently clashed with pro-Trump conservatives that had gathered for a prayer rally on the streets of Portland, Oregon. Flashbang grenades were thrown by Antifa activists. The police confiscated mace, clubs, gloves with reinforced knuckles, batons, knives, and handgun clips, and many were injured and had to be taken to the hospital. The violence was so dramatic that some are actually calling this the first skirmish. Now, pay attention, this is important. The first skirmish in America's next Civil War. By the way, the last thing they called Civil War was not a Civil War at all, and I'll explain why in a minute. Last week, a shocking poll found that 30% of all Americans believe that there will be a civil war in America within the next 5 years, and that 59% of Americans believe that Donald Trump's opponents will resort to violence. Obviously, that's true. But after the events of this past weekend, we no longer have to wonder if civil unrest is coming to America. Civil unrest is already here, and it's going to get much worse in the months ahead. Maxine Waters herself should be impeached out of the House. But she said that the violence is an answer to take back his country from her side. That she's causing all kinds of headaches. A lot of people that are on Trump's side here. But the war of 1861 was not a civil war, Melody. We were not fighting. The South was not fighting to take control of the government. We were fighting to become independent. The civil war is when both sides fight to control the government. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so the war called Civil War is not really a civil war. It was 13 independent states, and we don't any longer part of the Union, which he had a right to do nonetheless. But they did. We know what happened. So it's not this. That wasn't really a civil war. This could be a civil war. This was blacks against whites and liberals against conservatives, and who knows why else is going to be involved in this. And it is prophesied by Demetri Dudum it's going to happen. And then when that happens, right, New Mexico will invade from the South. And a new president-elect of Mexico wants to invade the United States to take back the territory they lost in the Mexican-American War. Now, that is a fact. He said that. So, could this be fulfilling what Demetri Dudum says is going to happen? Civil War, and then Mexico and other nations from the South invade America. Could it happen? Absolutely it could happen. It looks like every day, like a more, it's going to happen. With their president-elect in Mexico said, we want back our property, which include Texas, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and other properties. We want it back, and we're going to send the people across the border to kind of more or less invade the country, not with guns, perhaps, but just come on across by the millions. You can't stop them. They're doing it. So this is fulfilling, in my mind, what's been talked about back in the 80s with America unraveling, and that's what's happened. We are unraveling as a nation, Melody. It was a time in our lifetime. Well, you may have been any nationality, it made no difference. Any race made no difference. But you had a common thread that went through you. You were Americans. You weren't black Americans. You weren't Indian Americans. You weren't white Americans. You were Americans. That's how you identified as who you were. Today, it isn't that way. We have Native Americans and Afro Americans. We have all different kinds of Americans. That has divided the country up in factions, which is part of the plan. And it's leading to turmoil, frustration, anger, and now it's boiling over. So maybe you saw that video where Antifa come in against the pro-Trump people, and they actually were throwing flashbang grenades. So this is really happening right now in America that you and I used to know as was more or less a unified nation in a lot of different things, morally and every other way. But something's happened, hasn't it?
You know, I think one of the most disturbing things I hear a lot lately is that, you know, Trump is a divider. And he's not, and I don't know how anyone can pinpoint a person. Usually it seems more like events. It's the propaganda. And it's been going on for a lot longer than this past or this current administration.
Well, Obama was a divider also, yes. He was a great divider.
That's my point. And how many before them also?
Of course.
Were dividers.
You see, if you stand up and choose a side, you're going to be opposed to somebody else, aren't you?
Yes.
You have no choice. So that's called division. But there was a time on issues that we weren't talking about murdering our children or sodomizing our sons or other things. We were discussing issues. We were discussing issues, you know, that we worked together on, not something that's so absolutely morally and plainly wrong that we had to discuss them. There wasn't a discussion of it. So today they bring forth issues that we can't agree on. We can't agree on that. Murder is murder. Perversion is perversion. We can't agree on that, and they know that. So they bring those up to the forefront to cause more division.
You're absolutely correct. But that's what I hear so much about. And it's just like, no, he isn't. You know, and you have a great example there. And it's the social unrest, it is coming. I mean, I've talked about social unrest for years, you know, from the 90s. I mean, it's just it's a process. And you can see it happening. If you look to your history, see how it's worked in other areas. We've known, I can't remember how long ago I read, where Mexico always wanted their property back. And they were just waiting in time to take it back. And why would this be any different than any of your European nations and so forth who over the years have fought to expand their borders? Now, I don't think they'll be successful in doing so. You know, I'm not even sure they're actually going to try because I just don't see it happening. But on the other hand, you know, you send enough over the borders and, you know,
that's the same thing. It's an invasion.
Can they? Yeah, they can take control from within.
Well, this is the whole point is if they weaken us enough among ourselves, fighting among ourselves.
That's right.
How much easier would them to come in and take control?
Much easier. But
there you go. The answer is simple. We need to unify under one common denominator, but it isn't going to happen any longer because we've been so divided. There are certain issues there are certain issues I will not agree with, and you also.
Correct.
But the other side will not see it our way, obviously, even though we know morally they're wrong. They don't care any longer. That's the sad part.
So who's the best one to... I mean, how would you turn it around?
You're not going to. No. Christ himself said a house divided will come to destruction. Mm-hmm. It can't be turned around. It's too late to turn America around. Now, that's why I keep telling people they need to prepare themselves for what's coming. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a doom and gloomer. I read the Bible. I compare history with the Bible. I compare current events with the Bible. I'll tell you right now, America crossed the line in 1973. We're not going to turn it around. It's not coming back to what we knew as we'd be back in the 50s, and that's not going to happen. The dollar back then was a little bit stabler. People were a little more at peace. Nobody even locked their doors at night. That's not true any longer, and it can't come back. I don't want to discourage people. I'm telling the truth. We need to seek in our own lives how to serve our Heavenly Father and do it the way He wants us to do, stand for what's right, no matter what the cost. Prepare ourselves, as the Bible says, a wise man sees trouble coming and prepares himself for it. Get ready. put back some food. Call Decision, get a Berkey water filter. We got great ones. They got to scratch them somewhere, and they're a whole lot cheaper than buying brand new. And then call Miller Decision and buy some gold and silver to do some swapping and bartering in the future. Folks, I'm telling you, this is common sense. It's biblical sense. And if you don't prepare for what's coming, then you yourself, if you can do it and you ignore it, well, you're not a wise man. Bible says a wise man sees it coming and prepares. So if you're not, you're not a wise man. There you go. Go ahead, Melody. I'm going to shut up a minute.
No. I mean, you're saying some things that are very important to people need to listen to. And yes, I sell gold and silver, but I believe in it.
I see
what's happening. It's not like we're sitting here selling, something that I couldn't believe, and I'm trying to sell something to everybody.
You're not selling, I'm trying to buy them a brand new car, which is okay if you can do it. I'm not knocking that, but that's not your goal. You're trying to tell them how to prepare for what's coming in the future. I mean, we offer Berkey's through this ministry, Scratch and Ding Berkey. We're the only one in the country that has Scratch and Ding Berkey. Save them $150, don't bring on a filter. And we're not doing that. Yeah, we have to pay the bills here. But it's important that they prepare with something. Everyone needs water. You need water. And that's just a must. It's not something I'm trying to sell you as a luxury. It's a must. You gotta have fresh water or you will die.
And it's the same way with gold and silver.
Yes, it is.
If you have your investments, your hard-earned money, your pensions, your IRAs, all your savings just sitting there for the taking, why wouldn't you get it protected?
I don't know.
Why not convert that fiat dollar into real money? And that's what you're doing. You're converting it to real money. And I hear so many off-the-wall things coming from so many people on the internet. I'm so worn out with the internet. I love the internet because you do find information. That's where I do my research and everything. But there's a lot of misguided information.
Yes,
that and people have a tendency, they think, well, this person is knowledgeable, so I'm going to listen to him. Well, he might be right if it's geared to his agenda as far as why he is saying what he is saying. It might not benefit you. Who does it truly benefit? The gentleman that is telling you that this is the way it is, and even though he's done this, and it cracks me up, Pastor Butch, everyone is he was the first to tell about the 2008 Great Recession.
Right.
He predicted Everyone has predicted the Great Recession. Heck, we were talking about 2008, in 2004?
Well, yeah, Bob Chapman talked about it back. Well, yeah, at least that far back. He did.
Yeah.
And I told a family member about that before 2008. I said, "This is your building." He made a chunk of money in the building business in Colorado, Colorado Springs, to be specific. Made a good living at it. He bought a new house, bought a big Hummer. Not a Hummer, but he called those... looks like a Hummer, but it's not a Hummer. Maybe it is a Hummer. I don't know why I can't afford him. Nonetheless, he went in debt, and I said, this is going to come to an end. And this is about 2006 or 2007. I said, it's going to come to an end, I promise. And when it did, boom! He lost his house, he lost his car, he lost his wife. Yeah. He lost everything.
Yeah.
Now, that's what it boiled down to. And if people can't hear my passion when I'm talking, if they can sense the urgency in my spirit, then I can't reach them. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen again. When, I don't know, but I'm telling you right now, personally speaking, that every day it's getting hard for me to pay the bills because inflation keeps going up, and it keeps going up, and keeps going up, and my income is not going up. I'm telling the truth. So if they can't see that, they're either totally living in la-la land, or they're willfully blinded. I don't know which it is.
Well, government keeps saying, well, inflation, we can't get to 2%. People believe it.
Well,
people believe it.
But anyway, we covered some pretty serious stuff here, and we told them the truth. That's all we can do. And this is your decision. I mean, you're on the radio every day trying to tell them, use some common sense. I am, too, on the radio every night, and not talking about the same thing every night, but talking about in nights I can about preparing and offering Berkey water filters and tell them where to find some storable food. That's what I do. I'm a pastor, Melody. I'm a pastor that cares for people enough to do it. I'm not telling them to do anything that I haven't done. I've done all that. And maybe, perhaps, by the grace of God, I won't need it. My children can use it. Is that a bad thing?
Not at all. It's a great way to distribute your wealth to your for your future, your children, your grandchildren. You can help them by distributing your gold and silver to them. It's a very private way. 1-800-375-4180. We got a couple of minutes left. What's the final topic? You know, Scott Pruitt resigns as the EPA head guy. Did you know that?
Why did he resign?
Well, they were after him for a long time. I mean, he has he's saying because of unrelenting attacks, but you know his spending wasn't a very
kosher.
You know, he. So but he's history, so we'll see who fills his spot for the EPA.
Well, there's a whole lot more news to talk about. I mean, I looked here at cheese farmers are literally hurting over the tariffs. It's going on Mexico. They're starting to get stockpiled the cheese. They can't sell it. And they're saying, please take our cheese. And now there's people talking about worldwide UBIs, universal making basic income for everybody in the world. This has been touched about by talked about by different people in different countries around the world. They want a universal worldwide UBI. So I don't know. I mean, it sounds pretty, doesn't it? And we have go ahead.
You know, the head guy of Virgin Airlines, white-haired guy. You can tell we're getting old. We can't remember people's names. But he's coming out, and he says he thinks governments should give everyone a UBI, a universal basic income. And I'm thinking, hey, dude, you're a triple billionaire. Why don't you pass out your money? Why don't you allow it to trickle down and so people can make a decent living wage? And why don't you create some jobs? Well, instead of telling governments to write checks.
Ask them where it's coming from. How the government does not make...
He doesn't pay taxes either.
Where's it going to come from? Good question. We're out of time.
We're out of time. 800-375-4180. Thank you for joining me today, Pastor Butch.
You're welcome.
I always enjoy the programs, and I know many of the listeners do also. So until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless. That's too bad.